This Saturday night on Old Time Radio Drama, Space Patrol from 1952. We'll have The Great Gildersleeve from 1949. Boston Blackie Has a Case from 1946. We'll hear from Gangbusters. Escape with the H. Rider Haggard classic She from 1948. And Dimension X brings you science fiction at about 10:30 tonight with Almost Human. I'm Norman Gilliland. We'll start by soaring into space, where we encounter the Space Shark via Space Patrol, which was on the airwaves from 1950 to 1955, set in the 30th century, though, and on radio at the same time that it was on TV with the same leads, which is to say Ed Kemmer as Buzz Corey and Lyle Osborne as Cadet Happy. My only advice, watch out for those Venus heat beams tonight in The Space Shark from Space Patrol, December 6, 1952.
Wheat Chex, Rice Chex, and Good Hot Ralston presents Space Patrol! High adventure in the wild, vast reaches of space. Missions of daring in the name of interplanetary justice. Travel into the future with Buzz Corey, Commander-in-Chief of the Space Patrol! In today's transcribed adventure, Buzz and Happy are on Venus on a farm where food is chemically grown in large tanks. As they walk toward a building where Tonga is held captive, huge sun mirrors atop several tall towers turn ominously toward them.
Smoking rockets, Commander. It's really getting hot all of a sudden.
Yes, waves of heat. Even for Venus, this is unusual.
Gee, my eyes. What a glare.
Don't look at those reflectors. They'll blind you.
Let's run for the building and get out of the sun.
Happy, look out. They're focusing those sun mirrors on us.
A whole battery of them are pointed right toward us.
Maybe we can dodge them. Run back this way.
Commander, they've got us surrounded by the heat beams, and they're closing in.
If they hit us with all of them at once, we're finished.
We'll be back in just a moment with today's Space Patrol story, The Space Shark. It's the cereal of the future, the real space cereal. The cereal that's different from any other cereal in the universe. The cereal you see on Commander Corey's own breakfast table. Delicious Rice Chex, the cereal with a flavor like no other flavor in all the universe. Delicious Rice Chex. Swell-tasting shredded rice, spun in that modern bite-sized design for easy eating. A real space cereal. You see, there's space inside those biscuits so they can fill up with milk or cream. Try it today, gang. The only bite-sized rice cereal in the universe. Rice Chex, the one and only official checkerboard rice cereal. Rice Chex, one of the super cereals that helped us supercharge you. Rice Chex, at your grocer's in the red and white checkerboard package. Get it today. Crisp and delicious, new and different, golden bite-size Rice Chex. Commander Corey and Cadet Happy have just blasted off from the planet Saturn, where they've been investigating mysterious contamination of chemically grown food shipped from Venus. In the meantime, Tonga, the assistant security chief, is also doing some undercover investigation work on Venus, working as a chemist on one of the farms. Now, through the nose port of Terra 5, Buzz and Happy watch Saturn's shining rings looming up large before them.
Raise our vector about 5 degrees, Happy. Want to clear the rings with plenty of space to spare.
Yes, sir. You know, it's too bad anything so beautiful is such a menace to spaceflight.
But by the time you're close enough for them to be a menace, the rings are no longer beautiful.
No, because you can see the individual hunks of rock making up the rings. And yet from a distance, they look as though you could ride a surface car around them like on a smooth racetrack.
Mm-hmm. Only in this case, it's the racetrack that does the moving. Well, it's 1100 hours universal star time, Happy. We ought to be hearing from Tonga pretty soon.
I hope she found out more about how that food is getting contaminated than we did.
Well, those samples we examined on Saturn turned bad after they arrived from Venus.
So maybe the chemical farm they came from is still pure, huh?
Not necessarily. Perhaps a chemical with a delayed action was put into the hydroponic tanks.
Tonga calling Commander Corey. Tonga calling Commander Corey.
Corey here. Go ahead, Tonga.
Commander, how soon can you come to Venus?
We just blasted off from Saturn. It'll take at least 3.5 hours. Something wrong?
Why, no, to the contrary. I have found out how those harmful chemicals are getting into the hydroponic tanks.
Good.
A group of racketeers are trying to force the farm operators to pay for protection. they bribe workers to put the contaminating chemicals into the tanks.
Then, for the owners who pay the price, the tanks stay pure. Who's behind this gang?
I don't know yet, Commander, but I think I will by the time you reach Venus.
Where are you now?
In the woman's dormitory at the farm. I'm just about ready to report for work at the lab.
If you leave your miniature spacephone in your room, be sure you hide it carefully.
I keep it with me, Commander. It's safer.
You want us to come directly to the farm when we reach Venus?
I'll let you know later, Commander. By the way, I'm working here as Miss Byrd.
All right, Tonga. Be careful. Corey out.
Gee, Commander, Tonga seems to have found out more in a week than all the other agents have in a month.
She's a good security department operator, Happy. No, we'll clear the rings. Change vector for Venus.
Yes, sir.
Ready for the spectroscope check on specimen 28, Mr. Baxter?
All right, Miss Williams.
Negative. Well, this whole group of samples tests pure. I hope we have as good luck on the next group.
Oh, never mind that now, Miss Burns. I'll handle it.
Oh, but I thought you wanted all these samples analyzed before the morning shift ends.
There isn't much more to do. I'd like to have you take this report over to the superintendent's office.
Why, yes, Mr. Baxter.
Come in, Eagle.
Where is she?
I sent her on an errand.
That space patrol spy. I wonder how much she knows.
Not very much. I've kept close watch on her ever since we found that she's a space patrol agent.
But that was 3 days ago. She's been here a week. I'd like to know where she kept that spacephone.
I've had her room searched at the woman's dormitory. She's got it hidden, all right.
Perhaps it's under the floor. Baxter, you should have put this concealed microphone in her room in the first day she was here.
Look, I can't handle everything.
We got to get rid of her without exciting suspicion.
How can we do that? The space patrol would investigate.
Mm-hmm. Supposing there was an accident. Supposing she mixed the wrong chemicals and there was an explosion.
Oh, she's too careful. Too smart. I've got it.
This will do fine.
What is that?
A harmless chemical used by Miss Burns almost constantly. But this bottle... Someone might easily confuse the names of the two chemicals. They're very much alike.
What does this chemical do?
A few drops mixed with any acid solution will produce a deadly gas. A gas that soon dissipates. After a few seconds, when it's mixed with air, it's harmless. But if someone were leaning over a container of it when it first formed...
Baxter, I can't pronounce the name of this substance, but it's the solution to our problem. Fix it up. I better get out of here before she gets back.
The superintendent said he'd check the report later, Mr. Baxter.
Typical. He hollers his head off or something, then lets it sit on his desk for 3 days. Miss Burns, would you take over here?
Of course.
I've got to rush over to tank number 5. I'll be back as soon as possible.
Right, Mr. Baxter. Now, let's see. Phenetheric acid, 20 cc's. Oh, now where's the... Oh, here it is.
Worked, Eagle.
Has the gas dissipated?
Do you think I'd be walking around like this if it hadn't? As I told you, it only takes a few seconds for the...
Baxter, she's alive.
Huh?
Look at her. She's moving, tugging at her throat.
She must have jerked her head back before it got into her lungs. Now what do we do?
This makes it awkward.
Let me think a minute. Well, at this acceleration, we'll reach Venus in half an hour, sir.
Want me to take over?
No, thanks, sir. I'd just as soon bring her in, if I may.
Well, fine with me.
Happy.
Listen, I heard something in the miniature spacephone.
So did I.
I got it, Baxter. We'll load our Miss Burns into a surface car and take her to my hypodromic farm. Huh? So somebody sees us. Tell them there was a slight accident. We can say I'm a doctor. Take her to a hospital.
But, Commander, they've done something to Tonga.
Quiet, Happy.
Comes to, we can make her tell how much she knows. We certainly can't work on her hair.
That's right, Abel.
I'll stay here and watch Miss Burns. We got to get a surface car. Go on, get moving.
Tonga managed to click on her spacophone, so she's probably not too badly hurt.
I wish they'd keep talking so we could find out who they are and where they're going to take her.
Baxter and Eagle. Eagle has a chemical food farm. Happy you keep listening to your miniature set. I'll contact Venus Space Control and have them check on the location of a hydroponic farm owned by a man named Eagle.
Our passenger seems to be very quiet back there. Well, apparently that gas just missed being totally effective. Here, pull up in front of this building.
What's this place?
A couple of storage rooms and a solar mirror control.
Quite a layout you have.
Yeah, very successful farm, Baxter. And you know, I haven't had a bit of trouble with contaminated food.
I wonder why. I wonder why.
Well, come to think of it, maybe I'd better have some trouble in case the space patrol starts wondering why. Well, come on. Let's get her out of the car.
She's still unconscious. We'll have to carry her.
Yeah, all right. Let's go.
Spaceship. It's landing.
Quick, get her inside.
It's a space patrol ship. Why do you suppose it's coming here?
It's the commander ship. I've seen it a dozen of times on Terra. He must know the whole deal.
How could he?
The girl tipped him off. Probably has been waiting for days for some open move on our part.
What'll we do with her? Where's one of those storage rooms?
Oh, wait. There isn't time for that now. Bring her in here. We got to stop Corey.
Stop him? How?
Set her down here.
Look, why don't we lock her up out of sight? Maybe we can bluff Corey out of it. He can't know anything.
Well, he's obviously been to the other farm and knows the girl was taken away in a surface car.
Well, nobody asked us any questions.
No, but several people saw us.
Why don't we get in the car again and get away from here?
And be followed by Corey's spaceship?
I'm not anxious to tangle with Corey.
We won't have to. Come here. I'll show you something that will take care of Corey.
Commander, I'm not sure, but I thought I saw two men carrying Tonga into that building down there when we were landing the ship. That means she's still unconscious.
Yes, we've got to be careful, Happy.
It's lucky she managed to turn on her miniature spacephone. And even when Eagle and Baxter weren't talking, it picked up the sound of the surface car motor and led us right here.
This farm is more than just a front. Looks like a well-run operation.
Well, then why does Milton Eagle get mixed up in a gang of racketeers? Well,
very likely he's one of the higher-ups, if not the kingpin. This protection racket is his way of controlling competition.
What are those big shiny pieces of metal on top of the towers?
Those are solar mirrors, Happy. They can be focused on the food tanks to raise the temperature.
Some of them seem to be moving now.
They have to keep pace with the sun. Also, if the mirrors were kept focused on one tank too long, it would scorch the plants, probably boil the water.
Oh, I see.
I'm not so sure. Our rival hasn't aroused interest, Happy, so be on your guard.
Get the idea now, Baxter? I'm surrounding Corey and the cadet with circles of concentrated sunlight.
What do you expect to do? Blind them with the glare?
Yeah. Wait till I converge all those beams in one spot. Right on Corey and his friend.
Eagle. Well, do you realize the heat those mirrors put out?
Yeah, quite well, Baxter. And I think this will serve to stop the space patrol permanently. Now watch. I'm going to bring the focal points together.
Gee, Commander, sure is getting hot all of a sudden.
Yes, waves of heat. Even for Venus, this is unusual.
Smoking rockets, my eyes. What a glare.
Don't look at those reflectors. They'll blind you.
Let's run for the building and get out of the sun.
Happy, they're focusing those sun mirrors on us.
There's a whole battery of them.
Maybe we can dodge them. Run back this way.
Hey, Commander, we're surrounded by heat beams, and they're closing in.
If they hit us with all those at once, we're finished.
We'll be back with Space Patrol in just a moment. Right now, here's the story of a cosmic surface car in trouble. Listen. The trouble? Nothing to go on but ordinary fuel. You hear that? The driver's filling up the tank with super fuel. Now, something's gonna happen now. Boy, that cosmic surface car is really roaring now. That's because it's supercharged with super fuel. And the same is true with you, gang. What happens when you don't have a good breakfast? You're just a putt-putt. But when you fill up your tank with super fuel, man, you're supercharged. Now, here's how Buzz Corey does it. He eats a good breakfast with a checkerboard super cereal, Rice Chex or Wheat Chex. Wait till you taste them, gang. Boy, are they good. Flavor galore in every crisp, bite-sized biscuit. So get going, gang. Eat a good super cereal breakfast and get supercharged. Get the super cereals today. Rice Chex, Wheat Chex. Buzz and Happy are on the grounds of a chemically grown food plant on Venus in an attempt to rescue Tonga, abducted by two men who've been putting poisonous chemicals in the food tanks of competing operators. The two conspirators, Milton Agle and Richard Baxter, have seen Buzz and Happy approach the building where they're holding Tonga. Agle has focused several sun mirrors toward the two space patrolmen, surrounding them with heat beams. Inch by inch, the circles close in around Buzz and Happy as Agle tightens the wall of searing heat.
Look at them, Baxter. Ha, they can't move in any direction.
Grass all around them is burning.
Yeah, and a few seconds ago it was fresh and green.
That must be stifling inside those beams. Look at them, even from here you can tell they're gasping for air.
Well, we might as well finish them off.
Oh, no, you don't!
Grab her, Baxter.
Let go of me!
Get your hands off of that panel. Pull her away, Baxter.
I'm trying to.
Let go of me!
Found you, come away!
Let go of me!
I've got her, Eagle.
Now I'll finish off Corey and... she cut off the beam.
Get them on, quickly.
There isn't time. Corey and the cadet are headed toward us. Drag the girl out to the surface car, quick.
Quit struggling, do you hear?
Take your hands off me.
We haven't got time to pamper you, Miss Burns. There. Now you can carry her. And hurry up, into the car.
They're getting into the surface car.
They've got Tonga.
Hurry up.
Stop! Hey, come back here!
It's no use, Happy.
Doggone it. A few more steps and we'd have made it.
Back to the ship. We'll blast off and trace them. They won't be able to get far.
It was close. Huh? Plenty close.
We aren't away yet. They look for us with their ship. Maybe put up a roadblock.
Confounded girl. Why don't we get rid of her for good? Throw her out of the car.
No, you fool. As long as she's with us, Corey won't get robbed.
Where are you taking me?
That's a good question. Where are we taking her?
We're going to blast off for Neptune.
Blasting off for Neptune? In the surface car?
You must really have knocked her silly, Eagle.
I got a spaceship in a private spaceport a couple of miles from here. With a little luck, we can blast off before Corey spots us.
With a little luck,
I think
we
I've
can
got
them,
sir, on the miniature set.
Can you get
that's them all.
Out of the surface car?
You just leave the driving to me. Watch the girl.
Where on Neptune are you taking me?
A place where the space patrol will never find you.
I suppose you've got a hideout in the mountains somewhere.
No, not quite. There's a small settlement along the Crawlog River, just about 60 DUs east of Neptune City, where we won't be found.
Wouldn't a big city be better? People wouldn't ask so many questions.
I know what I'm doing.
Well, we know where they're going to take her.
Hope we can rescue Tonga before they get her aboard the spaceship.
Hey, Commander, there's a surface car down there on the highway. Do you suppose that's the one?
Very likely. Let's cut down our speed.
The spaceport isn't much further, Baxter.
What kind of spaceship do you have?
Mine, such an inquisitive woman. But I'll tell you, I'm rather proud of it. It's a Class B space cruiser, one of the largest private ships made.
A Class B space cruiser? How nice. It must be Venus Registry, then.
Yes, Venus Registry. Anything else you want to know?
Hegel, we're being followed.
By a surface car. None showing on a highway radar.
No, a spaceship. It's pretty high up, but it's hovering.
There's some binoculars in the compartment. See if you can make out what ship it is.
All right.
I don't like the looks of it. Why would a spaceship be traveling so slowly over this part of Venus?
It's changing direction now. I can get these glasses focused. It's a space patrol ship, Terra 5.
Corey again.
Maybe he didn't see us after all.
There were other surface cars on the highway near my farm. Wonder how he happened to follow this one.
That's strange. Miss Burns, why do you keep playing with that locket?
Why, I didn't know I was.
Give me that.
There you
are. Oh, rather large for a locket, isn't it? Snap it open. Now, isn't this interesting?
What is it, Baxter?
Miniature spacephone. So that's how Corey's been able to find us. We really ought to fix this girl now.
Shut up, you fool. Turn that spacephone off.
Just a minute, Agle. I know where you are and what you're up to. If either you or Baxter harm Tonga, both of you will regret it the rest of your lives.
So your real name is Tonga, the assistant security chief.
That's right.
Corey, I got a proposition to make to you.
What is it?
If we turn Tonga loose, will you let us alone?
You know I couldn't make a bargain like that.
Well, I'm willing to take a gamble, Corey. I know you'll keep after us, but I'll trade Tonga for a few minutes' time. There's a small check a few hundred yards down the highway. I'll leave Tonga there. How about it, Corey? It's your best chance to get her back safely.
All right, Eagle. I'll get you anyway, but I warn you, don't try to double-cross me.
Cut the space phone off, Baxter.
It's off.
Here's the shack. We got to work fast. Corey's landing right where I figured he would. Stay behind the trees until he's out of the ship.
Why don't we get in the car and get to your ship? Why waste time?
While Corey is in the shack rescuing Tonga, we'll put his weapons out of commission.
Why not wreck the controls so he can't blast off?
Yeah, and have him alert other space patrol units? Our best bet is to have Corey after us himself.
Tell me your ship is faster than Terra 5.
No, but his ship isn't faster than the Shark.
The Shark?
Yeah, it's a cosmic missile with a special view scope device. I have one aboard my ship. And once it's launched at Corey's ship, he can dodge it or outrun it.
Yes, and with his own cosmic weapons out of commission, he can't fire at the Shark.
That's right. He can run all over the solar system. But sooner or later, the Shark will get him. Come on, get ready. Corey and the cadet are getting out of the ship.
Here's the shack, sir. I sure hope they kept their word and left Tonga here.
Eagle and Baxter are putting a lot of faith in a few minutes' head start. But it won't do them much good. Try the door, huh?
Thanks.
Commander, Happy.
Are you all right, Tonga?
Yes, Commander.
Oh, they've got her tied hand and foot.
To give them more time, they probably would have locked the door if they could. Here, I'll cut those ropes, Tonga.
Thank you, Commander. I tried to find out exactly where Eagle's spaceship was. All I know is that it's not too far from here.
Happy and I looked for it from the air, but it must have been hidden.
Hey, the ship blasting off.
Probably Eagle's. Let's see. By the time we walk through the woods back to our ship, they'll have about 5 minutes start on us.
5 minutes? Well, that isn't going to do them much good. They picked us up, Eagle.
Good. Now let's give Corey a run for his money.
When are you going to launch the guided missiles at them?
Well, we'll wait till they get closer. First, we leave Corey out of the regular lanes. I don't want him to call for help when we launch the Shark.
We aren't gaining very fast, sir.
They must realize they can't escape. Turn on the space phone, Happy, and I'll order them to surrender. Commander Corey aboard Terra 5 to Milton Eagle aboard Private Cruiser 398. Come in.
Eagle to Commander Corey. Is something wrong, Commander?
Eagle, the smartest thing you can do is surrender. Head for Saturn. It's the closest planet.
Sorry. We have other plans.
I order you to surrender. We're armed, you know.
Oh, of course.
Happy, stand by to fire a warning rocket.
Yes, sir.
Eagle, I don't want to use force unless it's necessary, but I'm prepared to do it.
Commander, something's wrong with the firing mechanism.
What?
The electronic controls are out of order.
What about number two?
Well, they're all out of order, sir.
That's right, Commander. Baxter and I took care of that while you were rescuing Tonga.
We can still overtake you, Eagle. Meanwhile, we can call units from Saturn.
You're going to be pretty busy, Commander. Baxter and I are sending you a present. Catch.
Eagle, if you fire on a space patrol ship, you'll be blasted out of space.
Commander, look at the view scope. Something's leaving their ship.
Not a regular missile, sir. It's too slow.
It may seem slow now, cadet, but wait.
Eagle, what did you just release?
A weapon with your picture on it, Commander.
It's gaining velocity, sir.
It's a guided type missile with a cosmic warhead. Have fun. Eagle out.
Happy. Change vector for Saturn.
For Saturn, sir?
Yes, and put on all the acceleration we can stand.
Getting closer, Commander.
Head for Saturn's rings, Happy.
For the rings?
Yes. Get on a tangent with the outer ring.
All right, sir, but... Well,
Commander.
Yes, sir.
The rings are made up of big chunks of rock. If we get too close...
That's the idea, Tonga. We'll get as close as possible. We're going to let those rocks run interference for us.
What an idea. Just like football at technology school. Blocking back, trailing you.
Tonga, bring the forward view scope up to full sensitivity. We'll pick out a nice big rock.
Yes, Commander.
Missile's awfully close, sir. At this rate, it'll hit us in a few seconds.
There's a giant hunk of rock dead ahead.
Good. I'll take the controls now, Happy. I'm going to see how close I can come to that rock. Tonga, watch the rear view scope.
The missile's awfully close.
Fine. We're going to jaywalk right in front of that rock.
Wow. Oh, boy, was that close.
smoking rockets. Have you ever seen such fire?
Watch the rear view scope.
The rock. It blew up right behind us.
Guided missile hit it. Well, that was luck.
Luck, nothing. That was the trickiest spaceship piloting in the universe, Commander. You hit a guided missile with an unguided missile.
Now, let's take care of some unfinished business. Eagle and Baxter.
How are we going to find them now?
I don't think it'll be difficult. They figure we're out of the way, so they might go back to their original plan.
The Crawlock River place?
We'll try it. Take over, Happy. We're clear of the ring.
Well, I lined up another ship for us, Baxter.
Good. When do we leave Crawlock?
In a few hours. One of my men is bringing a ship in from Neptune City.
It can't be too soon to suit me. I don't like this place.
Ah, what are you so jittery about? We don't have to worry about Corey anymore.
I know. I just don't like Neptune. I'm used to Venus. You get plenty of sunshine.
Get your hands up, Eagle. You too, Baxter.
Corey.
Get the weapons, Happy.
Yes, sir.
Corey, how did you... The guided missile, you couldn't have escaped the shark.
The shark, if that's what you call it, stubbed its nose on a rock just off Saturn. As a pet, it wasn't too trustworthy.
You were so sure you'd finished Corey, I told you not to come here.
Nah, Baxter. No recrimination. We gambled and we lost. Take it easy, Baxter. Like me.
No, you don't, Eagle. Now, Eagle, are you ready to come along?
Yeah.
Sure. Oh, okay, Corey. I'll come along.
Yeah, you know, you're not very agile, Eagle. You'd better stick to taking it easy, like Baxter.
Yeah.
An exciting preview of next week's thrilling Space Patrol story in just a moment. Hey, watch out. Hold everything. Here he comes down the rink so fast his ice skates are melting the ice. Wow, that's a checkerboard kid. He's supercharged. And a good breakfast with a checkerboard super cereal did it. A breakfast with swell-tasting instant Ralston. Uh-oh, here he comes again. Stand back. Jumpin' Jupiter, that boy's a winner. He's got the speed of Buzz Corey himself. And how about you, gang? How about getting supercharged so you can whiz along just like that? Just do this. Have a good breakfast with Instant Ralston, the hot super cereal. The delicious hot cereal that helps to turn on your starter, makes you bright as a light, and helps to keep you right on the beam. That's what it does for the commander. That's what it'll do for you. Uh-oh, here comes the checkerboard kid again on those flying ice skates. Don't wait, gang. Be a winner yourself. Get supercharged. Eat a good breakfast with a delicious hot super cereal, Instant Ralston. And now for a preview of next week's exciting Space Patrol story. Buzz and Happy in their spacesuits on a tiny asteroid are approaching a criminal who has stolen evidence that's needed to convict a crime syndicate.
He's got the metal box, sir, with the evidence.
All right, Jora. Come out of that crater and get into our ship.
I'm getting into my own ship, Corey, and you're not going to stop me.
All right, we'll come down and get you.
Take one more step and I'll use this gun on you. All right, have it your way. I warned you.
Drop, Happy. Wow, that was close. The gun chipped a hunk of rock loose as big as your head.
Stand still, Happy. I think Chora means business.
Yeah, he does, and it isn't funny business either.
Be sure to be with us next Saturday for the exciting story, The Search for Asteroid X, when Wheat Checks, Rice Checks, and Good Hot Ralston again bring you Space Patrol! And now, an important message from Commander Buzz Corey.
Did you ever read in the paper about a boy or girl saving somebody's life? Ever wish you could do something like that? Well, you can. Just join my Space Patrol blood boosters. Here's what we do. We try to get more people to donate blood to the Red Cross. When you get somebody to donate blood, you save a life. So, boys and girls, join my Space Patrol blood boosters today.
Space Patrol, an original Mike Moser production starring Ed Kemmer as Commander Corey and Lynn Osborne as Cadet Happy, was written by Lou Houston and directed by Larry Robertson. Other players were Bela Kovac, Ken Mayer, and Nina Barra. Dick Tufeld speaking. Now, don't forget to tune in next Saturday and every Saturday when Wheat Checks, Rice Checks, and Good Hot Ralston again present the new exciting Space Patrol. And be sure to see another exciting Space Patrol story on your local ABC television station. Consult your local paper for time and channel. Space Patrol comes to you transcribed from Hollywood. This is ABC Radio Network.
That was The Space Shark from Space Patrol, December 6th, 1952. 1 week from tonight, Old Time Radio Drama will bring you a live drama. We'll kick off Old Time Radio Drama next Saturday night, October 13th, with a live production of The Water Engine coming from the Hemsley Theater at the University of Wisconsin in Madison. It'll be a gala event, and I hope you can join me for that next Saturday night, October 13th, The Water Engine, live here on Wisconsin Public Radio. Next up is The Great Gildersleeve, as old-time radio drama continues on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Let's see, I guess you could call this reverse psychology. Tonight, Gildy thinks that Leroy wants to join the circus, and not wanting him to join the circus gets him a job in the circus to burn him out. Let's see how well it works in The Circus, an outing with The Great Gildersleeve from April 13th, 1949.
The Kraft Food Company presents Harold Perry as The Great Gildersleeve. The Great Gildersleeve is brought to you by the Kraft Foods Company, makers of parquet margarine. Millions of women all over America serve parquet because it tastes so good. And now, in many states, you can buy this delicious parquet margarine in yellow quarter-pound sticks. Yes, this same spread that tastes so good now comes in handy quarter-pound sticks already colored a rich golden yellow and ready to serve. That's parquet, P-A-R-K-A-Y, parquet margarine made by Kraft. Well, guess what? The circus is coming to Summerfield. It'll be a great day for the kids. And guess what? Big kid is running home with six tickets clutched in his chubby little fist.
Annie Oakley.
Yep, the Great Gildersleeve. And this is how he got him.
Good afternoon, my friend. Are you the city water commissioner?
Yeah, that's right. Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve.
Well, my name is Captain Blackie Sparks, manager of Sample Brothers Gigantic Circus.
Well, I'm glad to meet you, Captain Sparks. Always happy to see the circus come to town.
Well, I'm happy to be here. Mr. Commissioner, we'd like you to help us get water out to the circus grounds at Sherman Field.
Well, I guess we can run a pipe out there.
Ha, ha, good, good. I like a man who can make a fast decision. Boom, boom.
Yeah, boom, boom. Oh, yes. Well, I guess it'll take quite a lot of water for all those wild animals. How many have you got in the circus?
Well, Sample Brothers Gigantic Circus has a gigantic menagerie, including 10 gigantic elephants, 50 genuine Arabian ponies, 1 2-ton hippopotamus.
Oh, have a camel?
No, thanks. I don't smoke. Well, thank you for your cooperation, Mr. Commissioner. Drop into the circus grounds any time it can do you a favor. And here are 6 tickets with my compliments. Good for any performance of Sample Brothers Gigantic Circus.
Well, thank you.
Now I gotta run, gotta go unpack the elephant's trunk.
What?
You know the circus business. Boom, boom.
Boom, boom. I hope he's the guy they shoot out of the cannon.
Leroy! Oh, Leroy!
He's out of the garage, Mr. Gildersleeve. Want me to call him?
No, thanks, Bertie. I'll go out there. Yeah, got some tickets for the circus.
You have?
Yeah. Here's one for you, Bertie.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Gildersleeve. My. Bertie's going to the circus.
Well, I'll go find Leroy.
He's got a circus of his own out there, Mr. Gildersleeve.
What?
He's putting on a show for that little girl he's so crazy about.
Oh, is little Brenda over this afternoon?
Yes, sir. She's the people and he's the circus.
I'll give little Miss People a ticket, too, then. Who's that? Marjorie, what are you doing peeking through that knothole?
Oh, hello, Unky. Shh. I'm watching the circus. It's a riot.
Oh? Yeah, let me look.
Presenting the Clyde Beatty of Summerfield, the Great Leroy.
You look so funny, Leroy.
Whoop. Marjorie, he's wearing the tops of my red pajamas.
The great Leroy will now present his world-famous rhinoceros.
Rhinoceros? Oh, his pet turtle.
The first thing this ferocious beast will do is eat a piece of lettuce.
There goes our salad.
Aren't you afraid he'll bite you, Leroy?
Nah. You're so brave, Leroy.
Ooh.
Look at him eat right out of your hand. Oh, that's a perfectly sensational act.
Oh, that's nothing. Wait till I join the circus.
Would you really run away and join the circus?
What's this?
Oh, I've been thinking about it.
Marjorie, how long has this been going on?
I don't know. It'd be so thrilling if you did, Leroy. I just love to have my boyfriend in the circus.
By George, if he keeps that up, he might do it.
When would you leave, Leroy? Well, when the circus leaves town, right before the Easter examination.
What?
I'm already packed some of my things.
Do you hear that, Marjorie?
What did your uncle say? Oh, Uncle feel okay about it. When I come back in a couple of years, rich.
Oh, he will, Willie.
And then we could get married. Yeah, and take care of Uncle. In a couple of years, he'll be too old to work anyway.
I'll have to have a talk with that boy. He really has some things packed. Every spring I have trouble with that boy. I wonder if he'd really join the circus. I'll talk to him as soon as Brenda leaves. Must be Judge Hooker. Probably coming over to borrow my spray gun. I bet he has aphis in his rose trellis again.
Hello, Gilda. I'd like to borrow your spray gun.
Yeah. I know, Judge.
I have aphis in my rose trellis.
Yeah. Just as I thought. You'll find the spray as usual in the garage, Judge. As if you didn't know.
Well, you don't have to be so grouchy. The circus is in town, Gildy, and a big fat hippo like you should be happy.
Well, the circus isn't making me happy.
Huh?
Leroy wants to run away and join it.
Well, Gildy, at some time or other, every boy dreams of joining a circus.
It's no dream, Horace. He's making plans to leave. He's already packed some of his things in his little Boy Scout bandana.
Have you talked to the boy?
No, but I'm going to. I've got some tickets here for him, but I'm going to tear him up. He can't run away with the circus if I don't let him go near it.
Uh-huh. Gildy, how many times do you have to be reminded that the quickest way to make a boy want to do something is to forbid him to do it? It's simple psychology. Now, my advice is...
Judge, your advice is always simple.
Now, Gildy, if I were you, I'd take Leroy down to the circus and get him a job.
Judge, are you out of your mind?
Naturally not. Let Leroy carry water and pitch hay while the circus is in town. And if I know circuses, he'll get enough of it in 2 days.
Well?
That's hard work, Gildy.
Leroy hates work. By George, Judge, for once I think you're using your head for something besides a hat rack.
Well, thank you, Gildy. Too bad that you can't think of a use for yours.
Oh, go spray your aphis, you old goat. Leroy, may I come in?
Sure, Unc.
Oop, look at this room, plastered with circus posters.
Keen, huh?
Leroy, how can you sleep with all these wild animals leering at you? What's this one? Sample Brothers Circus presents Beatrice, the beauty and her beasts.
Some lions, huh, Unc?
Leroy, I'd like to have a little talk with you.
Okay.
You were playing circus this afternoon, weren't you?
Gosh, did I leave my turtle in your pajama pocket?
Well, I don't know, Leroy, but thanks for warning me. My boy, how'd you like to join a real circus?
You mean Sample Brothers? Oh, boy.
Well, I called a fellow I know out there, and there's a job waiting for you.
You mean it, Uncle?
I certainly do.
Gosh, I wonder if I'll get to water the elephant.
Don't worry, you will.
Oh, boy, when do I start?
what?
Tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock, Leroy. And I'll come out during my lunch hour and see how you're getting along.
Gee, thanks, Unc.
That's all right, my boy. And I know you're going to like it. If he does, I'll sue Judge Hooker.
All right, Leo, up on your barrel. There, that's a good cat. Stay there now.
Oh, Beatrice.
What is it, Blackie?
I'm sorry to interrupt while you're working your lines, but we've got a financial problem.
Oh, another one? Where till I get out of the cage?
Oh, I think we picked a lemon when we came to Summerfield. The tickets ain't selling here.
Well, you're the business manager. Stir up some local interest. Why don't you try the old chestnut?
You mean we get the mayor to be guest ringmaster? I thought of that, but he's out of town.
Well, there must be some city official who likes to play big shot. Who was the big fellow with the handsome mustache you brought the kid down to work this morning? Didn't you say he's the local water commissioner?
Yes, but he's trying to cool his kid off on circuses. We couldn't get him.
Well, maybe I could get him.
What?
Let me know if he comes around again.
Pardon me.
Well, the water commissioner.
Well, hello.
Hello yourself. I came down to see how Leroy is getting along, Captain. Where is he?
Oh, he's around someplace. Say, we were just talking about you, Mr. Gildersleeve. Meet Miss Beatrice Sample, owner of Sample Brothers Gigantic Circus.
How do you do?
How do you do? Miss Sample, you say?
Yes.
Well, if you're a sample of Sample Brothers Circus...
Miss Sample not only owns the show, but she's the star. Beatrice, the beauty and her beast.
Oh, yes, I've seen your picture. In fact, I have it on the wall at home.
Oh, you do?
Nice.
Mr. Gildersleeve, whenever we play a city, we like to confer an honor upon one of its important city officials.
Who?
Yes. And we'd like you to be guest ringmaster tonight.
Guest ringmaster?
Why, yes. It'll be good business for us and good publicity for you as a city official.
If you don't mind your picture in the paper. And you shouldn't.
Well, I've never been interested in publicity. How big a picture would you print? I mean, perhaps I shouldn't pass this up if it means something to the city.
Hell, good, good. We like a man who can make a fast decision. Boom, boom.
Yeah, boom, boom. Oh, yeah. Hey, now, wait a minute.
Blackie, why don't you go find a uniform to show Mr. Gildersleeve?
Uniform?
On the way, boom, boom.
Now, Miss Sample, let's not rush me into this. Just what does a guest ringmaster have to do?
Well, first you make a grand entrance in your gorgeous uniform. Then you step up there on the platform and you run the whole show.
I do?
Why don't you come over here where the band is rehearsing and test your voice over the public address system?
Well, I've always been a little shy of microphones.
Oh, now, Mr. Gildersleeve, I'll bet that deep voice of yours will sound wonderful.
Oh? Well, I might just try it out. What'll I say?
Oh, just welcome the people to the circus. You know that ladies and gentlemen stuff.
Oh?
Boys, give Mr. Gildersleeve a fanfare.
Well, fanfare. Now, let's see.
Ladies and...
Sounds pretty big.
Say, you're sensational. There, my band likes you too.
What was that?
Oh, that's Leo, my big lion.
Oh, I hope Leo likes me.
In here.
Oh, Miss Sample, this is Leroy, my little nephew. How do you like working for the circus, Leroy?
I'm quitting the old circus.
Quitting after half a day?
I'm carrying a million buckets of water and pitched 2 tons of hay. I'm quitting this circus. It's lousy.
Now, Leroy, let's not be too critical of Miss Sample's circus. I rather like it.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not. In fact, tonight I'm going to be guest ringmaster.
You ringmaster? What a character.
Now, where were we, Miss Sample?
As we were saying, Bertie, no doubt about it, all kinds of dishes taste better with parquet margarine.
Mr. Wall, ordinary food ain't ordinary when it's got parquet on it. Take for example...
It's that delicate parquet flavor that makes the difference. Wonderful on pancakes or biscuits.
But eating real ordinary food, eating the ordinariest kind of food you can think of.
Of course, the reason parquet margarine has such a wonderful flavor is it's made from the selected products of American farms. The fact is, it's made like a luxury.
As I was saying...
Furthermore, Bertie...
But, Mr. Wall, I'm saying what you're saying, but I'm saying it different. I'm saying that just the ordinariest kind of dish of warmed over vegetables makes a nice tasting dish when it's covered with golden yellow parquet.
Okay, Bertie, you say it your way.
What I'm saying is whether you use parquet for cookies or cooking, it's just a wonderful tasting food.
That's certainly right, Bertie. And parquet costs only about half as much as the most expensive spread. And Bertie, to steal a line from you, here's what I'm saying to our friends. Just try P-A-R-K-A-Y, the margarine with a delicious, wonderful flavor. The margarine made by Kraft that tastes so good. Well, when Sample Brothers Circus came to town, little Leroy made boyish plans to join it. To discourage the idea, the great Gildersleeve got him a job watering elephants and pitching hay. It worked. Leroy quit and went home. But guess who's ringmaster while the show's in Summerfield?
Guess I'll go in and see if Peavy's heard about it. I need some between-the-act cigars anyway. Hello, Peavy.
Yeah, hello, Mr. Gildersleeve. What can I do for you this fine day?
Peavy, I'll have a half a dozen of these cigars.
Very well.
Peavy, guess what happened to me when I went down to the circus grounds this noon?
Get squirted by an elephant?
Yeah. No, Peavy.
Bit by a snake?
Yep.
I have a mighty good snake bite remedy.
Peavy, that's not it at all.
Now, don't tell me. Let me guess.
Oh, firm.
Did you get tattooed?
Peavy, will you listen to me for a minute? They wanted an important official to be guest ringmaster tonight. So who do you suppose they chose?
I don't know.
They chose me, Peavy.
You don't say.
Yeah. Oh. Certainly. Have a look at this uniform they gave me to wear. I'm taking it home for Bertie to alter.
That's all.
Yeah. Last fellow who wore it wasn't quite as big an official as I am. Size 36. Take a look at this, Peavy. I'm wearing this high silk hat, these white riding breeches, patent leather boots, and a red coat with gold braid.
My, my.
Mm-hmm. I'm doing it to stimulate business for the circus.
Well, that should stimulate business, all right. Takes me back to the time I wanted to join the circus.
You, Peavy?
She wore pink tights.
Oh, boy. Peavy, you wouldn't have liked circus life.
I don't know. There's a lot to be said for it, Mr. Gildersleeve. Free board and room.
I don't like hot dogs that well.
Work 6 months and loaf 6.
Yeah? Well, that wouldn't be bad.
Good pay, too. I knew an undertaker over in Dexter who takes every summer off and travels with the circus.
An undertaker?
Mm.
What does he do?
He's a clown.
He's a clown.
He makes more money in a few weeks than he does the rest of the year.
Okay, well, Dexter must be a very healthy town, then.
Quite a life, the circus. Chance to know interesting people, too. Take Miss Beauty and her beast, for instance.
What? Now, Peavy... You know, I'd never become interested in a circus woman.
Well, no, I wouldn't say that.
Oh! I'll see you at the circus, Peavy. Well, better go down and see if Bertie has that gold sash pressed. My George, this ringmaster's uniform isn't bad. These whipcord trousers make quite an impressive noise. I feel like Cecil B. DeMille. Yes, sir, I'll show him how to run that circus.
Well, Uncle, you look gorgeous.
Oh, thank you, my dear.
Hi, Uncle. Gosh, look at you. The circus didn't give me an outfit like that.
Well, you couldn't be a valet to an elephant and wear white pants, Leroy.
You said it.
Yep.
After the way you felt about Leroy joining the circus... How did they ever persuade you to be ringmaster?
Well, Marjorie...
I don't suppose the fact that the circus owner is an attractive woman had anything to do with it.
Marjorie, Miss Sample asked me as a city official, so I considered it my civic duty. The fact that she's a beautiful blonde has nothing whatever to do with it. Leroy?
Only kidding us.
Yeah.
Well, there'll be no kidding about the circus. It's a very old and honorable profession. And profitable, too. And I may just take a whirl at it this summer during my vacation.
What a silly way to spend a vacation.
Here's the gold fish, Mr. Gilsleeve. My, my, you sure look elegant.
Thank you, Bertie.
Just like the grand potentate of my lodge. Ain't you gonna carry a sword, Mr. Gilsleeve?
A sword? No, Bertie. Just a riding crop.
Oh. Them white riding pants fit after I let them out?
Oh, yeah. Just fine, Bertie. I don't think anybody will notice the blue serge V in the back. After I put on my sash. Marjorie, you hold one end while I whirl myself into it.
All right, Uncle. Go ahead.
Dizzy.
Steady, Uncle, while I tuck it in. There.
Thank you, my dear. Well, how do I look?
Just like the grand potentate of my lodge.
Well, better get down to the lodge. I mean the circus. Look at all the people. Hey, I'm quite a drawing card. You know, the more I think of this, the more I'm convinced this is the place to spend my vacation. How else can a man travel and make money at the same time? Unless he's a traveling salesman.
Well, look at my ringmaster.
Huh?
You look gorgeous in your uniform, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Yeah, thank you, Miss Sample. You look gorgeous in yours, too. Just like a drum majorette. Say, aren't you afraid the lions will scratch your knees?
Oh. Oops. That's our cue. We're on.
Oh, yes. We make our entrance together, don't we? Yeah, I'm a little out of step. Better get up on the platform.
Good luck. Yeah,
thank you. Same to you. It's quiet in here all of a sudden.
Ladies and gentlemen.
That's my phone.
That's my cook, folks.
Ladies and gentlemen. This is your guest ringmaster and water commissioner, Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve, presenting Sample Brothers' gigantic circus with the most stupendous array of stars and animals ever assembled under one big tie.
Well, I got through the elephant ballet, all right.
You're doing splendidly, Gilda.
Hooker.
I always said you belonged in a circus.
Oh. He's just jealous.
Oh, you're wonderful, Mr. Gildersleeve. Keep it rolling now.
It rolling? Oh, yes.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, presenting for your amusement, amazement, and approval, that sensational, death-defying aerial act, the Flying Findlings.
Oop. One of them flew pretty close.
Thank you, thank you. The little lady in the blue tights was Grandma Finley. And now your attention, please, to the center ring. Presenting the final and feature act, Beatrice the Beauty and Her Beasts. The bold Miss Beatrice will now enter the cage with the most ferocious assemblage of man-eating lions and tigers in Somerville. The world.
Steady, Jack. Hi, Cleo.
That Leo, he wouldn't catch me hiking with him anyplace.
Hi, Cleo!
Mr. Gildersleeve, step down here a minute, will you?
Okay.
Leo won't jump up on his barrel.
Who?
Take your riding crop and give him a prod through the bars.
Me? Well, and these bars don't look very strong.
You're holding up the act, Mr. Gildersleeve. Give him a poke.
Yeah, nice lion. Get up on the barrel. Now, Leo, nothing personal. I'm a Leo myself, born in August.
Give him the stick.
Go ahead, kitty.
Nice kitty, 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 kitty. Oh, don't be so gentle. Hit him with the stick.
Hit him? Well, if you say so.
Boy, you got him up on the barrel.
I did? Well, thank you very much. Thank you.
Oh, you were wonderful. Yeah, you were keen, Unc. I was proud of you.
Well, thank you, children. Well, hello, Brenda. How'd you like the show?
Oh, Mr. Gildersleeve, I just love you as a ringmaster.
Fine job, Gildersleeve.
Thank you, Dad. Now, if you'll all excuse me, I have to run over to Miss Sample's trailer. Business. I have something to discuss with her.
Be at home, Unc.
All right, my dear. Hi, George. I made a good ringmaster, if I do say so myself. This is the time to ask her about being ringmaster during my summer vacation. If I play my cards right, I think I can persuade her. Well, her trailer door is open. She plays the guitar. Oh, Miss Sample.
Well, come in, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Thank you. Nice guitar. Mother of pearl trimming. You play well.
Well, it helps me relax after my cat act. Sort of relieves the tension. Sit down, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Thank you.
I want you to know I think you were terrific tonight.
Well, thanks again. I dropped in because I want to have a little serious talk with you.
Yeah, I'm glad you came by. I was a little lonely anyway.
Well, like Blackie says, I'm a man of fast decisions, Miss Sample. And this day with you in the circus has given me some great ideas.
Oh?
I can tell you like music, Miss Sample.
Oh, yes, I do.
Music appeals to everybody. Now, if you had a ringmaster with a deep voice to sing a song or two, it would add a lot to the show.
Oh? Well, who'd you have in mind?
Who'd I have in mind? Far away places with strange sounding names. Far away over the sea. Those far away places with the strange sounding names are calling to you and to me.
Oh?
You bet. They call me a dreamer. Well, maybe I am. But I know that I'm burning to see those far away places with the strange sounding names calling to you and to me.
Oh, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Did you like that?
Oh, Mr. Gildersleeve, I loved it.
Good. Then that makes it easier for me to ask my question.
You don't have to ask. I'll marry you.
Huh?
And I'll give you half the circus.
Beatrice, Miss Sample, that's not what I had in mind. I thought perhaps during my vacation...
Oh, why wait for your vacation? We'll do it right now.
What?
We'll be married tomorrow night in the center ring. Your friend Judge Hooker officiating.
What?
We'll make it an after show and charge 25 cents admission. Everybody in Summerfield will come.
Everybody but me. I'm getting out of here.
Great Gildersleeve will be right back. Here's news. You can now get yellow parquet in all states where laws permit. Yes, parquet, the same delicious spread with a wonderful flavor, now comes in handy quarter-pound sticks already colored a rich golden yellow. You'll find yellow parquet costs a little more, largely because of the federal coloring tax. But it's a real saving for you in time and trouble. Try the new yellow parquet in quarter-pound sticks. Remember, where state laws permit, you can get this delicious spread, golden yellow, ready to serve. Of course, you can still buy white parquet at the low economy price. That's P-A-R-K-A-Y, parquet margarine made by Kraft.
Well, folks, the circus will be coming to your town soon. Don't miss it. It's wonderful entertainment for all ages. Circuses have just about everything. You'll see all kinds of wild animals, animal trainers, acrobats, bareback riders, clowns. Yes, sir, you'll see everybody. Everybody except me.
And me.
Little Leroy. Good night, folks.
The Great Gildersleeve is played by Harold Perry. The show was written by John Elliott and Andy White, with music by Jack Meacham. Included in the cast are Walter Tetley, Mary Lee Robb, Lillian Randolph, Earl Ross, Dick LeGrand, Peggy Newton, Barbara Whiting, and Eddie Marr. This is John Wall saying goodnight for the Kraft Foods Company, makers of the famous line of Kraft quality food products. Be sure to listen in next Wednesday, because if you think the great Gildersleeve was in hot water with that lion tonight, wait till he starts investigating a haunted house.
You'll like this pleasant, quick way of making leftovers more delicious. Just add a little Kraft prepared mustard, then you add a lot of tang. Hidden flavors in boiled ham, sausage, most any meat pop right out. Every bite tastes better. Now you can get two kinds of Kraft mustard. Salad mustard, delicately spiced for those who prefer a milder flavor, and Kraft mustard with snappy horseradish added. Have both kinds in your pantry. Then with every meat dish, hot or cold, just add a little mustard and you'll add a lot of tang. Kraft's prepared mustard.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
That was The Circus, in which Gildy becomes a ringmaster and sings Faraway Places. That's a little different. And we learn also that parquet is already colored in those states where it's legal to do so, one of which was not Wisconsin. That was The Great Gildersleeve from April 13th, 1949. Next, it's A Case for Boston Blackie. You're listening to Old Time Radio Drama on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.